following lecture is the sole property of Imam W.D. Muhammad and cannot be sold or reproduced without written consent or permission of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Anyone not compliant will be apprehended and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Society of Muslims leader. The following khutbah, our sermon, was recorded February the 11th, year 2003, at Taqwa Islamic Center in Chicago, Illinois. The Khatib is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Muslim brothers, Muslim sisters, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. And Eid Mubarak. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar al-Kabira. Walhamdulillahi kathira. Sadaqa abda. وعز جندا وهزم الأحزاب وحده لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We witness that God is one, the Lord, creator, and cherisher of the worlds. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets, the one prophesied in the Bible that would take off the people the heavy yoke of slavery that weighed them down and break every bond of slavery. This is given to us in the Quran, where it says that he is the one mentioned in the Torah and in the Gospel, the Injil, to carry out that responsibility. He is a liberator. He liberates from all forms of slavery. And the best key for unlocking the locks of slavery is correct education. The leader in Islam, Muhammad the Prophet, he established for us the Ummah, the community, the global community, the worldwide association or community of Muslims. He established that for us under God, following God's guidance. And he established it after the order of Abraham. A learned sheikh, while I was in Saudi Arabia once, told me, he said, Imam Muhammad, he said, you know, Abraham is a community, to tell me he's not just an individual figure, but he's a figure or type of a whole community. And when we study Jesus Christ in the scriptures that were given to the people of the book, and also in Islamic knowledge, we see Jesus Christ also as a mysterious sign of the community of Adam, the community of mankind. We are after that order. Muhammad the Prophet taught us, and we know Allah says to us in the Quran, you'll find the Christians, those who call themselves Nasara, that's the old name for the Christians, the people of Nazareth, Nasara, you'll find them to be the nearest to you, that is the nearest to you in the practice of religion, the Christians. And he also said that in the end, the people, the world, will see the world of the religious people, will see the people of the book and us, will see Muhammad the prophet, the last prophet, and Jesus Christ, God's prophet and messenger also, together, he said. They will be seen together. So let us keep our spirit correct by not seeing Islam in opposition with Christianity. Islam is in opposition with any untruth, with any falsehood, with any indecency. Islam is in opposition to nothing but what Allah has ordered to be in opposition to. Islam doesn't pick up any personal quarrels with anybody or any idea or anything. Our obedience is to our God, who revealed scripture to the people before, then revealed the Quran as an explanation and a clear explanation on that was revealed before. So we must understand from those words of God in the Quran that the Quran in Islam is God's last address regarding what he said to man or what he has revealed to man. We are not to go to the Bible. We are not to go to the Torah or the Gospel or to any other religious source for guidance. Our guidance is the Quran, and we would hope that the whole world of religion would get acquainted with the Quran so they would know what God has said more recently on what is right and what is wrong when it comes to what he said to mankind. He spoke to many prophets before. He spoke even to females, we are told in the Quran. And he spoke lastly to Muhammad. The model man prophesied. He was prophesied that his day would come. Jesus Christ pointed to Muhammad. All the prophets pointed to Muhammad. And that was told to us in the sign that's given to us in the ascension and travels of Muhammad, the night visit of Muhammad. When he was seen leading the prophets in prayer. So here is a revelation for the Muslim, to us, to tell us that Muhammad is the last one, and the last one is completing what the previous ones were all about. Muhammad spoke, speaking, addressing this particular point that I'm making now. He said that there was a house being built, and it was being built by the one sent by God, his prophets, the servants of God, and messengers, the servants of God. He said, but there was one stone left to be placed. It had not been placed to complete the structure of that house. And he says, he is the one. He is that last stone. And we know that the last stone, it is the cornerstone. It's the stone that makes sense of the whole structure. The whole structure is left without sense until that stone is put there. That stone is the stone of universal brotherhood, the stone of universal truth, the stone of oneness for not only God, but oneness for mankind. And Abraham was all about that. Yes, Abraham was all about that. He was prepared to make a great sacrifice, to sacrifice his son. We in Islam, we say Ismail in the Bible, Ishmael. In the Quran, the pronunciation is Ismail. And in the for the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they say Isaac, Ishaq, his name in the Quran, Ishaq. And really, when you study what they have with them, it's doubtful. It's very doubtful that they are correct. Not even looking at Quran, not even hearing a word of Muhammad. If you just study what they have, their own records, it's very doubtful that that one was Isaac. The truth, the evidence point in their own records, the evidence point to Ishmael as being that one. Praise be to Allah. We glorify him. We are told when we come down from the hill or the mount of Arafat. Arafat means to know. Arafat is from the verb in Arabic which means to know. Arafah. Arafah means to know. Arafat means the place where you come to know your brother in Islam, where you meet leaders from around the world. I've been there, you've been there, many of you. Where you meet your brothers and leaders from around the world. And you meet on the basis of Islamic equality, the equality of Muslims in Islam. The one who meets you there, he may be the custodian of the Kaaba, the king of Saudi Arabia, or he may be president of Egypt, or he may be the highest scholar recognized by the Muslim public. But when you meet him there, he may carry airs or show importance, self-importance. But the spirit there will be against anyone showing self-importance. The spirit there will be to recognize brothers as equals. Little man me, son of Elijah Muhammad and Clara Muhammad, my mother from Georgia, who were not educated people, had no education at all, hardly. I was welcome in 1967 when I made Hajj with the Muslim Student Association of Canada and the U.S. under the leadership then of Dr. Ahmad Sakar, who lives in California now. He was the president of that organization. They invited me to join them to make Hajj, and I told them I didn't know if I could have enough money. They said it only costs $500. Now, you know, that must have been a long time ago, 1967. So I said, wow. I said, I talked to my wife, Shirley, and she was happy about it. She wanted me to make the Hajj. So with her permission, I sacrificed. I saved money from other things, our needs. We all sacrificed. We were just the wife and the daughter. Layla was my daughter, only child at that time. So we made the sacrifice from our home needs, and I saved $500 in time, and I gave it to them, and I made the Hajj. They were very kind and generous. Oh, and I didn't need it. They were handing me food and whatever I needed, and offering to pay for my ihram and everything. The brothers were just so loving. But I managed out of my own pocket. I felt that God, I knew something about the Hajj from reading about it. I felt that God obligated us individually to do that. And I didn't want anybody carrying my cross. I wanted to carry my own cross. So I carried my own cross. I accepted my responsibility to myself under God. And I paid for everything. I even did, they showed me Chinese. I had a few dollars left. I offered them too. I said, have some dates. And it was a very good time we had. On the Hajj in 1967. And at that time, I realized that the Hajj is a connection for us with all people. This is the most important thing we need to know. Abraham is called the father of the many. And in Islam, the imam are the leader for the nations. And that means that he is bringing all people, or his sign brings all people into one community, the community of man under God. And Prophet Muhammad was ordered mission to establish that again. In fact, it was never established. It was a hope. That's why it's called the Millah of Ibrahim. Millah. And they translate Millah, order. But Millah comes also from the word meaning the hope of Abraham, in connection with hope. The hope of Abraham, the upright. The upright in faith. We know we have also, during the rituals of the Hajj, we have also to pray two rak'ahs, standing near the Kaaba, very near it, after making our circles around the Kaaba, seven. We stand in a place called Maqam Ibrahim. It means where Abraham stood. And it's understood that it means where Abraham stood in prayer. Where he stood in prayer. and we follow him making two rak'ahs of prayer. Now, did he make two rak'ahs exactly? Was it two rak'ahs? Muhammad, the way we do prayer, only was established in the time of our leader, Muhammad the Prophet. We know they made sajda, because it's in the scripture that came before the Quran, that they made sajda. But it's not in the scripture that they performed salat as we do. So I don't believe he made two rak'ahs of salat like we do. But in a sense, by interpretation, he did. Because the first two rak'ahs in our Jummah prayer, which is just like the Eid prayer, except for takbir, the first two rak'ahs in our Jummah prayer represents salat. And what happened to the other two rak'ahs of the midday prayer? The education we give when we give khutbah is the other two rak'ahs. So our prayer is the prayer of nature. And nature prays not only for discipline, nature prays for growth, increase. And nothing increases us more than knowledge. Zidni ilma. That's the prayer of the righteous. Our Lord, increase me in knowledge. Increase me in knowledge. Abraham should connect us with education. Abraham should connect us with the education established by Muhammad, fulfilling the obligation, carrying out the obligation, the covenant of Abraham with his God. Education should be made available to all equally. If you are poor, you should have a way to get education as much as you want if you are in the community of Muhammad, the Ummah of Al-Islam. If you are in our community, you should be able to get education as much as you want. Now, this sounds like the socialist program, you may say. Well, a lot of good you find not only in the socialist program, but also in the capitalist program, was in the Quran and in Muhammad's teachings before it was in the world of the West. Understand that. So Islam wants liberal education and public education for all citizens in the Ummah of Al-Islam. That is, for all members in the global community of Muslims. We don't have that yet, but that's what we should be after. That's what our leaders should be helping us again. They should help us get closer and closer to that goal of having education available to all members that are Muslims and have it available to them equally. No one should be held back because of not enough money to get the education. No one should be held back because he's ignorant or dumb. He should be encouraged and inspired. Not only encouraged, people need to be inspired sometimes. You need to have someone turn on your interest. And Islam is not only here to tell you where to go. Islam is here to prepare you to want to go there, to turn your interest on so you will want it. So you will want more knowledge. So you will want better education. This has happened to many who have come to our association since I've been the leader. And it happened to many before I was the leader. I've heard them tell me, it was your father who inspired me to go back to school. And I went back and got my degree. Isn't that wonderful? And I've had them tell me many, Brother Imam, it was you. And I know what they mean, not me. I don't look at myself ever, unless I'm looking at myself to find what I need to do to make it better, make myself better. They mean to what I teach, and what I teach is from Quran and from the guidance of Muhammad the Prophet. And that agrees with the Quran, and that agrees with the guidance of our Prophet. That's what I teach. So they tell me, say, because of you, I went back to school. Many women, males and females, some 80 years old. Would you believe that? 80 years old. went back to school and got a degree after being out of school for a long time. He had nothing but a high school education. So this is marvelous. This is wonderful. Islam doesn't war as much and as meaningfully with physical weapons as it wars with truth. And truth is just not a moral issue. Truth is a community issue. Truth has to be whole. And the whole truth can't leave out any truth that we need to support our life in the community, our life in society, or our life in the world of mankind. Any truth that we need to support that life is part of that truth. And without that part, our truth is not whole. So we need leaders who are firstly leaders for moral life, leaders for good moral life. But also we need leaders who are leaders for social life, for man's life in community. Islam is a religion of brotherhood and sisterhood. Islam is a religion that makes all of us one family. This was the purpose of Adam, the first father. And it was advanced by those who followed after Adam. Noah, Moses, Abraham before him, Jesus, and finally Muhammad. And many that I've missed naming, some of them lesser in importance than those I've named, they came to advance the good life of mankind and to make knowledge accessible, available to all members of society, to bring mankind into one public, the public of humanity. To bring mankind to see himself as one family, the family of humanity. That's why we have two fathers, Adam representing the natural man, and Abraham representing the enlightened man, the educated man. Two fathers. Praise be to Allah. So let us accept this religion. It's clear, it's plain, easily understood. And let us also get benefit from God's signs to us. In the Quran, God says that this Quran is not only guidance, but it's also its medicine. It's healing for that that is in the heart, or that is in the breast of mankind. It's a healing. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Walillahil hamd. We glorify God. We praise him with our whole being, mind, body, and spirit. And we worship none with him, associate nothing with him as a God. For he is God alone. He is the creator of everything in existence, including the prophets themselves. He created his prophets and messengers. Praise be to God. And they cannot be equal. The created and the creator are not equal. As Christ Jesus says in the gospel, the sent is not equal to the sender. That's what Jesus Christ says in the gospel, the New Testament. And it's still written there, plain as day. I don't know how they miss it, but it's there. Saying that Jesus Christ is not equal to God who created everything. It's plain as day in the gospel. Yes, praise be to Allah. Now, continuing. God gives us signs. And a sign is the sun and the moon. And in the Quran, Allah says, God that is says, Ash-shamsu wal-qamar yasjudan. The sun and the moon make sajda. The sun and the moon make sajda. Prostrate in obedience. Now, just like I remember mentioned Abraham, he actually did two rak'ahs as we do them, following the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. But nevertheless, I believe he did through rakas, because his standing in prayer was for the nature, for the human life in its moral excellence. And his standing in prayer was also for education to come to the ignorant, liberal education to come to all the children of Adam. That was his prayer. So his prayer was two rakas. Praise be to Allah. And our prayer is two rakas. On the most sacred days, the happiest days, our prayer is two rakas. On Friday, our prayer is two rakas. And on the great Eids, the two Eids, our prayer, two rakas. Yes, given time to educate, given time for education. You know, our training under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a big help to us for understanding the great, big, wide field of Islam that we came into with my leadership. His teaching is a big help. He taught us that we should be educated. He put emphasis on education. And he taught us that religion is knowledge, not just shouting and singing. Religion is education. He taught us that. He turned us on to being students of religion, students of scripture. He turned us on to that. Nothing turned me on to that before my father. My father was the one who turned me on to being mentally curious, rationally curious, to understand religion. I am a product of his influence, the influence of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In spite of all the erroneous things about God and religion and man that was in his package that he gave us, the intent was good. And if you were sincere, the result was good. I read where in the Bible it says that one of the great prophets gave the people an invitation. He gave them an invitation to go in two directions, either direction. They could go left or they could go right. But if you read carefully what he said, their best choice would be not to go left or right, but to go straight center. Straight center. Neither left nor right, but straight center. Straight and center. Keeping a healthy balance away from the stream right and away from the stream left. But he said, I give you two ways. He offered the people two ways. But then he said something else to them that made it clear that you have to guard yourself from going to the extreme in these two ways and keep straight down the middle. That righteousness is your salvation. So I give you these two paths. Righteousness is your salvation. Is this in the Quran? Yes. I won't take up all the time to give you this, but this is in the Quran. And we are called what? The midway community. Not going to the extreme right and not going to the extreme left, but the midway community. Keeping the correct balance. Praise be to Allah. This is the Ummah of Muhammad the Prophet. Now, another sign is the sun and the moon that I mentioned just a little while ago. The sun and the moon. These signs are not only in the religion of the recent people in history, or the medieval age. These signs go back to ancient times. Ancient Egypt had these signs, the sun and the moon. And ancient Egypt has the sun as God. The sun as God. Ancient Egypt. And the moon as goddess. Goddess, daughter of the sun. The sun is called Osiris. An Egyptian ancient religious myth. And the daughter was Isis in the ancient Egyptian religious myth. Okay? So Allah says, the sun and the moon, yasjudan. And some of you all, you follow these crucified imams that can't come out of their straitjackets. I'm not making fun of them. I pity them. I hurt for them. You follow them, and when I start talking this way, you're ready to leave. You're ready to leave my lecture. You're lost, and you're following the dumb, the blind, and they will lead you into more ignorance. You will never come to your inheritance that God created you for. God created you for your rights, your inheritance. And we know that man will rob man of his rights, of his inheritance. And the Bible, it says a certain one, that we don't accept this, that it was charged to a prophet of God. We don't accept that. But it's in the Bible that a certain one who was a prophet of God, who became a prophet of God, that he robbed his own brother of his birthrights and also of his inheritance. So we know that man will rob man of his birthrights and his inheritance. Your birthrights is the right to be a full human being with a complete mind and a complete soul, with an appetite not only for spiritual things, but with an appetite also for material things. We have in the Quran, it says, and the family of Quraysh, that God have made secure them against hunger and fear, referring to the material and the spiritual. Fear is spiritual, and hunger is for material things, food, clothing, shelter, etc. So we have in the Quran that God can say, to tell us, as a sign to us, that don't accept this world of spirituality or the world of spiritual leaders that invites you to spiritual existence and don't encourage you to have material establishment and social strength and stability. You can't have it without the whole life. You have to have some earth, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. You have to have some of this good earth. That's his language. And you have to have knowledge of the earth God created. Yes. And knowledge of yourself. You have to have this. And this is what put sun in the heavens. This is what hung moon for the night. Not the moon that you look at to see when the east starts or when the next month starts, but the moon of your own intelligence. The moon of your own intelligence and the sun of your own intelligence. The only signs that God put out there in the physical world to direct you to your own makeup, to let you know, just as I've hung a light, a great light in the sky to light the world so you can find your way around and work and grow in knowledge and in mass. I have given you an intelligence that if you let it come on, it will light up your human world and it will make you productive in the world just as the sun makes the world productive in the things that grow from the earth. You will be a source of energy, enlightenment, light and energy and warmth. Because the light doesn't only shine, the light warms up. Ah. And the light is just not guidance alone. The light is also healing. Man discovered that long time ago. If you don't let the sun shine into your house, you'll have more diseases. Open the windows. Have good windows. Let the sun shine in. It kills bacteria, harmful germs. Huh? As Shamsu wal Kamaru yasjudan. When you make sense there, you reconcile your intelligence with the creation of God. Put your head on God's creation. Let your head agree with God's laws in creation. Then you can stand up again as a man. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. And for God is the praise. So, dear beloved believers, we celebrate on this day, we observe the great Eid, the greater Eid, Eid al-Adha. And we wanted to be right with the Hajis, We wanted to be doing this Eid celebration when they were doing theirs on the 10th day of the Hajj. Something else I should bring to your notice. The Hajj starts with the new moon, just as fasting. But the celebration of the fast comes at the end of the month, when the new moon of the next month is sighted. So it is a full month of fasting. It's different for the Hajj. The Hajj starts on the first day, the first sighting of the new moon, and it ends on the 10th day of the month. 10th day of the month, it ends. So the great celebration is on the 10th day of the month. And this is the day that animals are slaughtered and prepared, cooked and prepared deliciously. Lamb, chicken, whatever, beef, camel, they eat camel over there too. I ate some. It's a good workout for the jaws. It's good. Yeah. So they have delicious meal, plenty of food. And I was over there, and I know that no matter how poor you are, don't let anybody tell you, you get over there, you can't eat. You have to turn down food. If they know you don't have food, and let me tell you something about the custodians of the Kaaba, and I have criticism for them, sure, that's for sure. But the king of Saudi Arabia invites on a certain day of the week, anyone from the public can come to his table and eat. He prepares for hungry people in the public, and they can come to his table and eat. During the Hajj, if they know you don't have food, almost anyone will see that you have food from any country. If they got food, they will share it with you. But also, the administrators of the Hajj, the Saudi Arabians in charge, they will see that you are fed and have plenty of food. And so much food is bought and slaughtered by the Hajjis that they have a lot of waste at the end of the celebration. And they try to give it away to people, but they end up being a lot of waste. And that can be avoided. Well, maybe it could be, but it'd be difficult to avoid that. Very difficult to avoid waste, because they want to make sure that everybody have more than enough, for nobody to be short. I'll be saying, I wish I had some more of this or more of that. So they want to make sure that everybody have enough. But if you don't have enough yourself with you, that you yourself have, don't worry about being fed. You'll be fed. So Abraham, going back to Abraham, his sacrifice was the sacrifice of his son, Ishmael. And he was ready, prepared for that sacrifice. But it really tried him. It tried his soul. It tried his mind. Oh, he hated so much that he had to get it. But when he was convinced that, yes, God wants you, the son told him too, said, well, this is what God wants of you. Do what your God wants of you. So he agreed, Ishmael, his son, agreed to be sacrificed. And when he had him on the altar, the chopping block, to slaughter him, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, you've already fulfilled your obligation. You fulfilled your sacrifice. You've done your sacrifice. So the sacrifice that Allah wants from mankind, from all of us, male and female, mankind means all of us, male and female, is that we be prepared and ready to give up anything, including our own life, wife, mother, father, son, daughter, our own life even, if we think that this is what God wants of us. We have to be prepared to do that. He said, well, how would that happen? Why would God want me to give up my mother? Maybe your mother is the enemy of God helping the shaitan. God doesn't ask you to take her away to kill her, but God asks you to be prepared to accept that she be killed. It could be your little child. Maybe your child is a threat to the way of God. So you have to be prepared to accept that your child be killed. God doesn't ask that you kill your child. Personally, How do we know that? Because Muhammad came to make everything more compassionate and softer for us. He wouldn't permit a relative to go in the battlefield and kill another relative. He would tell the relative, let the non-relative kill that person. Isn't that beautiful? How he prepared the way for the healing and the future solidarity of the Muslims. Because if I had to stand by a brother in prayer that killed my father, I don't care if my father was a disbeliever. That ain't a comfortable place to be. I'd have to be moving. Let me stand over here by this other brother. Saying he was daddy's son. My brother, daddy's son, killed our father. You wouldn't like to stand by him. But he didn't kill him. A distant person killed him. So if a distant person killed him, it's like, you know, the army. He lost his life in the war. Not a family member killed him, you see. But the family member killed daddy. It's a very sensitive religion. A very strong religion, but at the same time, a very soft religion. Sensitive religion. Sensitive. And that's the best. That is the best. So in concluding today, we want to mention this sacrifice of Abraham, sacrificing his son. And God says, you've already completed the sacrifice. Now, what did he sacrifice? In actuality, it was a lamb, right? It was a lamb. So actually, what is that saying? That his son Ishmael was a lamb. His son was a lamb. Ishmael was a lamb. A lamb in his passions. A lamb have very peaceful passions. So peaceful. Peaceful, loving passions. So Ishmael represents the peaceful, loving passions in Abraham's following. And he was ready to sacrifice that for what? And we know it's spiritual, spiritually based. How we know that it was spiritually based? Because if we accept that it was Ishmael, Ishmael was in the wilderness and his mother didn't have food for him. And she was panicking, running in desperation, and left her child not wanting to see him die in that state without thirst, without water in the desert. And when she came back to the area after panicking, running around, she saw that a well had sprung up at his heels, at the heels of Ishmael. So this tells us that Ishmael's essential nature and character was spiritual, but not educated, because water coming down represents education. This is revelation, revealing, water revealed from heaven. This wasn't water coming down. This was water coming up out of the ground. So this is his natural spirituality that God gave to him before his spirituality was educated, reigned. Okay? So Abraham built wells. This is what the Bible says. This is what the old scripture says before Quran. He was one that built wells. He built wells. Wherever he went, he would build a well. He opened a well. He is the one also, the father of Ishmael, also had that same. He had natural spirituality. And that's what we mean when we say Abraham, the upright in his nature. Mean that he had the natural, pure spirituality. Water doesn't only come pure from the skies. Water come pure out of the earth. The earth filters it. The sand beneath the ground filters it. And it comes up pure, pure and healthy for you. So this is the natural spirituality of man. His natural spirituality. And Abraham was willing to sacrifice it for social advancement. For social advancement. He was willing to sacrifice that child or that nature of his society. He was ready to sacrifice it for the social. And God says, no, don't actually kill the boy, but kill this nature in him. This nature to follow naturally the urges of his soul or his spirituality. And educate him. So you don't kill him and throw him away. You kill him and feed him to the poor. So don't sacrifice that nature. Feed that nature to the people. In other words, educate the people regarding the natural makeup of mankind. Teach the people their natural life, their natural makeup. How God has given them wonderful urges for their establishment in their own nation. Teach them and educate them so that they will be enlightened regarding that that is in them as a created being. So this is what that stands for. Now, is there any support for that in Scripture? Jesus Christ is the biggest support I have to offer you right now. Jesus Christ is called a body, but his body is also to be eaten on the table. He says, take this wine, representing my blood, and drink it. Take this bread, representing my flesh, and eat it. So that's a sign that we are not actually eating his flesh, we're eating the body of his knowledge that has its basis in his flesh, in his natural body. So educate the people. That's all it means. Give them education. Educate them. Teach them the natural makeup of mankind. And educate them regarding the natural creation of the natural makeup of mankind so that they'll have the many sciences, the sciences of the blood, the sciences of the skin, the sciences of the bones, the sciences of the muscles, the science of the nervous system. There are a lot of science in this body. Huh? Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So here is religion coming and given by God, inspired in common people. Muhammad was a common man. He was not educated in religion. He didn't know nothing about religion. Jesus Christ was also a common man. He came from the people that were looked down on. How do we know that? The Bible says, could any good thing come out of that place he come from? Meaning that they disregarded those people where Jesus came from. His community was disregarded. They didn't think they had anything to offer people. But out of that place that where they thought nothing would come to offer people, came the leader for them. Jesus Christ, peace be on him, and a sign to the world. Yes. So in my conclusion, let us understand that when God says, as Shamsu wal Qamaru yasjudan, the sun and the moon make sajda, he is saying that you, man, you with your sun and moon, you should make sajda with your social light, with your spiritual light. You should put your head on my earth I created, because I brought you out of the earth like I did your first father, Adam. Your origin goes back to the earth, my creation. And whatever you are, you owe your existence to me and my creation. So make your obeisance, make your submission, your sajda to the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. And for God is the praise. We thank God, we glorify him, and we hope to enjoy the Eid today. And if there's any celebration for us for another day or for 3 days, we hope that all of us enjoy our Eid and know that Muslims are bonded together as one family. And we are to love one another, and we are to put that love into practice. And the best proof of our love is that we want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. That we seek advancement and seek growth and progress, not to be selfish with it, but to share it with our brothers and sisters. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Wa Eid Mubarak.
For more audio or video lectures by Imam W.D. Muhammad, call W.D. Muhammad Publications at 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.